The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. The UN Commission on Narcotic Drugs met for a reconvened session December 5th and 6th. We're going to hear some audio from that set of meetings on today's show. Before we get to that, we're going to hear a few speakers from the thematic discussions that were held by the CND back in November. Let's start off with Anne Fordham, Executive Director of the International Drug Policy Consortium.
This statement relates to an earlier topic on the review, the critical review of the coca leaf. This critical review comes nearly 75 years after the UN banned the traditional uses of the plant by listing it in Schedule 1 of the 1961 Convention on Narcotic Drugs. This is despite the fact that the coca leaf has been used for millennia by indigenous peoples in the Andean Amazonian region for traditional, religious, ancestral, and medicinal purposes. At the time, the decision to place the plant under strict international control was based on deeply problematic colonial and racist prejudice, as is further explained in Bolivia's dossier annexed to its request for the review. We were able to address the ECDD at their open session last month and called on the ECDD to correct this historical wrong and to explicitly distance itself from past racist arguments made by WHO officials themselves regarding the plant. Since 1961, extensive research shows that the coca leaf does not result in health harms, but may in fact have possible benefits, including as a medicine, as a food supplement, and for social, cultural, and religious purposes. In addition, the basic premise of the 1961 Single Convention is that plants are only scheduled as a narcotic drug when they are considered to produce harmful effects similar to other scheduled substances. This is certainly not the case for the coca leaf when compared to the effects of cocaine use. Various UN entities have increasingly recognized the need to decolonize drug policy and align the UN drug control regime with human rights, including indigenous people's rights. This includes statements from the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, the High Commissioner for Human Rights, the UN Special Rapporteur on Indigenous Rights, and resolutions adopted by the UN General Assembly, the CND, and the Human Rights Council. Furthermore, the International Guidelines on Human Rights and Drug Policy elaborates the rights of indigenous peoples to their traditional and cultural practices. As with all UN bodies and entities, the WHO is also bound by an obligation to respect, protect, and fulfill human rights, which is one of the overarching pillars of the UN. As such, any scheduling recommendation by the ECDD should also take due account of human rights considerations. We therefore welcome the decision made by the ECDD to consider the traditional uses of the coca leaf as well as one of the key topics of the critical review report. We hope that this will ensure that the traditional knowledge and culture of the Andean Amazonian indigenous peoples are duly recognized and seriously considered as the ECDD conducts its critical review and elaborates its recommendations on the plant. I conclude with some recommendations regarding this process. There is a need to ensure a transparent and inclusive process that enables the meaningful participation of Indigenous peoples at all stages of the critical review, including inviting Indigenous experts to participate in specific segments of the 48th session of the ECDD that relate to the coca leaf and not just the public hearings. We urge the member states that had objected to Bolivia's reservation on the coca leaf as it reassessed to the single convention in 2013 to withdraw such objections, as has now been done by Mexico in 2018 and the Netherlands in 2023. We encourage member states to initiate a much-needed discussion on the potential benefits of a legal global market for the coca leaf and its derived products, as well as on possible mechanisms needed to avoid the risk of corporate capture and to protect the rights of indigenous peoples of the Andean Amazonian region. I invite you to read IDPC's advocacy note on this issue, which is available on our website, which further elaborates on the points I've made today.
That was Anne Fordham, Executive Director of the International Drug Policy Consortium, speaking before the CND on November 14th. Massimo Barra is Special Envoy on Health of the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies and co-chair of the Rome Consensus Humanitarian Drug Policy Initiative.
Harm reduction is gaining worldwide more and more acceptance as a strategic approach But despite the growing implementation as an essential measure to reduce adverse health and social consequences for people with substance abuse disorder, still today there is no generally accepted definition. On the contrary, in several countries and contexts, harm reduction is subject to various political and ideological interpretations, leading to misunderstandings and confusion. The lack of consensus and clarity has created unjustified fears about the effectiveness of harm reduction, negatively impacting public health outcome. If for somebody harm reduction is the first step toward treatment, for others is viewed as complicity with drug user whose purpose is not recovery. As if those who support harm reduction were resigned to the drug consumption and have no hope of improvement of the general conditions of the users. From our neutral and impartial perspective, the Red Cross and Red Crescent movement in its resolution and guideline recognized harm reduction as an essential practice that aims to minimize the negative health and social impacts associated with drug use. Years of experience and evidence showed the early intervention, even when the subject does not have the will to stop because of his sickness, is vital. Avoid the point of non-return, decrease the harmful consequences of drugs, allow the subject to stay alive and in the right condition to get a chance for a recovery path are the essential steps of harm reduction. The goal of the therapy must be compatible with the subject conditions. It cannot demand the impossible, nor a rapid and forced detoxification. It must respect the objective condition of the person's disease. Humanitarian attitude based on compassion and science should guide the health and ethical approach of harm reduction as a first step towards a holistic application of the continuum of care. How to return harm reduction to its ethical and humanitarian roots, setting aside ideological approaches? Is it possible to explore ways to build consensus among the international community on one interpretation and definition of these vital practices? We believe the time has come.
That was Massimo Barra, Special Envoy on Health of the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, speaking before the CND on November 14th. Emily Christie is Senior Advisor, Human Rights and Law at UNAIDS.
For over four decades, the world has been responding to the global AIDS pandemic, and the response has in many ways been impressive. However, not everyone has benefited from these successes, and in many cases, people who inject drugs are among those who are being left behind. In July this year, we published the most up-to-date data on the HIV response, and I want to share some with you now. The new data shows that people who inject drugs are still around 14 times more likely to acquire HIV than the rest of the adult population. The global median prevalence of HIV amongst people who use drugs is around 5%. This is more than seven times the global average amongst adults, and it can actually be as high as 32% in some countries. This is all despite the fact that effective and affordable prevention options exist. However, only around 1% of people who inject drugs live in countries that meet the recommended coverage of opioid agonist maintenance therapy and needle and syringe programs, among other harm reduction services. And among reporting countries, only around 1% of HIV spending goes to programs for people who inject drugs, which is significantly less than is currently required. These inequalities and inequities are driven by stigma, discrimination, and criminalization. 152 countries still criminalize drug use and possession for personal use, and 17% of people who inject drugs in reporting countries avoided healthcare due to the stigma and discrimination they faced. The Secretariat of the UN Joint Programme on HIV/AIDS works in close cooperation with UNODC, WHO, and UNDP to support countries in reaching the global AIDS strategy goals related to people who inject drugs. However, to end AIDS as a public health threat for people, all people, and to sustain those gains beyond 2030 requires significant additional investments in both human rights and public health. In 2025, we will be developing the next strategy to take us to 2030 and beyond. We will be moving to a more sustainable response focused on ending inequalities with human rights at the center. The next 5 years will be critical to ensure countries have the enabling environment that the HIV response requires, including removing laws and policies criminalizing people who use drugs, reducing stigma, discrimination, and violence, and reducing gender inequalities. We look forward to continuing this important work with our partners, with all member states and with civil society in this challenging moment of polycrisis. Thank you.
That was Emily Christie, Senior Advisor, Human Rights and Law at UNAIDS, speaking November 14th before the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs during a set of thematic discussions. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. The CND met again December 5th and 6th for its reconvened 67th session and for joint meetings with the UN's Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice. Among the items under discussion were findings and recommendations of the 47th World Health Organization's Expert Committee on Drug Dependence, particularly the Expert Committee review of the coca plant that's being undertaken by the 48th ECDD. Let's hear some of that discussion. First, here's the Bolivian delegate.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, the delegation of Bolivia, and there is a representation of the dignity of indigenous people in their historic struggle, and we thank the UNODC and the World Health Organization for the information presented. In this space, we would like to recall the firmness with which states shouldered their responsibility to guarantee that the decisions taken in this commission were based on scientific truth and on the respect of the rights of indigenous peoples. As you'll be aware, the inclusion of coca leaf on Schedule 1 of the 1961 Convention without any scientific basis was not just a historic error, but a direct aggression against our identity and culture. As this distinguished audience are also aware, in 2011, Bolivia declared its sovereignty and its sovereign right to protect the medical, nutritional, and cultural use of the coca leaf. It is a resource which feeds the body and soul of our people. And we rejoined in 2013 with a reservation which specifies these uses. Bolivia has also demonstrated with integrity and responsibility that it is possible to implement effective mechanisms of control which balance the preservation of ancestral practices against the fight against drugs trafficking, which Bolivia is absolutely committed to. For Bolivia, it is also important to note that one thing is unacceptable, that while other plants have been recognized for their medicinal properties, such as marijuana, for example, the medical potential of coca leaf continues to be ignored, perpetuating errors and prejudices which continue to this day. So the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and Convention 169 of the ILO are clear. Indigenous people continue to have rights to their indigenous medicines and to conserve their medicinal plants. And that is why Bolivia, as is well known, requested under Article 3 of this convention a critical review of coca leaf. This process is not just a technical issue, it's an act of historic justice. The report, which was issued in 1950, led to an unfair scheduling and undermine those who have been ancient protectors of it and guardians. This is going to be an opportunity to destigmatize the distortions and prejudices which have been attached to coca leaf. This ancestral plant should be revindicated as it is, the heritage of indigenous people with an immense potential for humanity as a whole. And it is an expression of life in harmony with nature. Thank you very much, Chair.
That was the Bolivian delegate speaking before the CND December 5th. Now here's the Colombian delegate.
Senor
Chairperson, Colombia is grateful for the presentation on the 47th session of the Expert Committee on Drug Dependence. I'd like to highlight the importance of the information meeting on the process of critical review of the classification or scheduling of coca leaf, as well as the updates which were discussed during this commission. These fora are essential to make progress towards a fairer analysis based on scientific evidence. With regard to coca leaf, my delegation would like to make three elements clear for the consideration of this room. One, there is no evidence, scientific evidence at all, to include coca leaf in Schedules 1 and 4 of the Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs of 1961. Two, this inclusion in Schedules 1 and 4 is an attack on the practices and rights of indigenous communities of the Andes. Thirdly, this inclusion is also undermines the implementation of a global drugs policy, which is pragmatic, effective, and focused on health and well-being. And I will explain this. And the inclusion of coca leaf on Schedules 1 and 4 of the Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs of 1961 was the result of historic decisions influenced by biased reports which ignored the traditional industrial, cultural, and medicinal uses of the plant. This scheduling not only lacked scientific rigor, but it also stigmatized fundamental ancestral practices for Andean communities. I would like to repeat, there is no scientific evidence at all justifying the inclusion of coca leaf in these schedules. Our communities continue to use it without any danger to their health, their physical and mental health. It is evident that no country wishes to see the problematic use of cocaine in its society. My delegation would like to suggest that if we want to be effective in reducing the production of cocaine, we must seek alternatives which allow farmers from the Andes to obtain the same benefits through legal industrial uses. The only sustainable way of reducing production of cocaine is through producing uses which are equally profitable for coca leaves. Alternative development projects, although valuable, unfortunately do not have the scope, nor do they provide comparable profitability, and therefore exploring the industrial and commercial potential of coca leaf should be a priority. Colombia believes that the process of critical review led by the Expert Committee on Drug Dependence of the WHO represents a historic opportunity to correct this injustice. This analysis needs to be backed up by rigorous scientific evidence, including studies on the nutritional, therapeutic, and social benefits of coca leaf, it should also fully recognise its traditional uses and its cultural importance. Our delegation selected the topic of scientific evidence as the core of the interactive dialogues because we are certain that this principle should guide our work in this commission. When the CND receives the review from the expert committee, we hope that scientific evidence prevails in the recommendations, and then we hope that in this body, pragmatism prevails. Given the failure of the global drug policy, and facing the same situation, Colombia would like to reiterate its intention to work together with indigenous people and to promote sustainable solutions which respect human rights, the cultural sovereignty, and the economic development of producer countries. Thank you very much.
That was the Colombian delegate speaking before the CND December 5th. Now, here's the Mexican delegate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. A delegation of Mexico would like to join its voice to others who've already very eloquently expressed themselves with very solid arguments. I'm speaking here of the delegations of Bolivia and Colombia. We would like to add three additional points to the debate. The first one of those is that we have sought to look into the background as to how coca leaf ended up scheduled in Schedule 1 of the Convention. And it seems to us that it might seem strange, but there is no scientific basis backing up this original scheduling. The second point is that anyone who's seen the way of life and the way in which indigenous communities live and the societies of the Andean countries will know that coca leaf has a traditional use and a use which is totally different from what is covered under the convention. It is, the two things are not connected. And the third thing is that just due to this decision of coca leaf having been scheduled in Annex 1 to the Convention, these indigenous communities from the Andean region have seen their way of life affected. They have seen themselves subjected to stigma attached to their culture, which needs to be remediated. My final point, Chair, is that every time that this commission meets, every time that the INCB works, they add substances to the schedules, and the various schedules under the convention, with good reason. But I think it's also fair for us to reflect together and look at whether or not there's a need to do justice sometimes. Sometimes we should not just add things, but remove things too. And I think in this case, it is the removal of coca leaf from Schedule 1 of the convention. Thank you very much.
That was the Mexican delegate speaking December 5th at a joint meeting of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs and its Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice. Simultaneous interpretation was provided by the UN. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Basic concerns about the focus, funding, and operation of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime and the Commission on Narcotic Drugs were also discussed. Here's the Colombian delegate.
In this statement, Colombia would like to refer to three topics. One, we need a UNODC which is more daring, to make progress towards effective solutions. All states need a UNODC which is strong and effective, and mine perhaps more than many others. And it's evident that we have a strong office with a global presence and significant capacity. And it is also evident that the office continues to be ineffective. Production, consumption, and trafficking are at historic levels. And transnational organized crime is ahead of the efforts of states ever more every day. The office is doing a great deal, but it is not obtaining the results which this membership wishes to see. And the problem is that we cannot ask the office to do the impossible. A world free of drugs is not a realistic, pragmatic, or possible aspiration, and it is not even an objective set out as a binding obligation in the conventions. What we can ask the office to do is to ensure that its actions are guided by best practice based on scientific evidence in order to achieve health and well-being. The 2021-2025 strategy is coming to an end, so there's a need to evaluate its implementation and request the office to propose innovative and effective approaches. This includes the design and implementation, with the support of member states, of pilot projects which place human beings at the center of drug policies, prioritizing human rights and health. Secondly, facing the scant results of the war on drugs at a global level, how can the UNODC do better? The office is part of the General Secretariat of the UN and should strengthen its strategic coordination with other offices, programs, and agencies of the United Nations. A better strategic integration may translate into significant progress on the operational level, bolstering consistency and synergy in international actions to tackle the situation of drugs and organized crime. We need relevant, up-to-date publications which address the most urgent problems and which set out the situations in all their complexity, which state things as they are and do not give in to being politically correct, leaving it to states to interpret their findings. And finally, how can the office do better? With what results? Colombia recognizes the progress made, but we are concerned by the imbalance between earmarked resources and general contributions. We continue to call for an increase in general contributions in a predictable manner, respecting the capacities of developing countries. Program administrative costs are a significant challenge for Colombia due to their high value and the lack of standardized rates for all states. It is essential to make progress towards an more equitable model which allows for these expenditures to be optimized, especially in contexts where the presence of the office is already consolidated.
That was the Colombian delegate speaking December 5th at a joint meeting of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs and its Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for Community Radio, syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's Audio Port service. Please support your local community radio station. Become a member. Become a volunteer. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
This is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.